From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm all about that bass, Bill Curtis. And here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. So good to see you. We got a great show for you today, especially because we're being joined later by the wonderful comedian Jenny Slate, the voice of Marcel the Seashell with Shoes. But first, we want to pay our respects to Serial, the podcast that became a worldwide phenomenon and ended its amazing first season this week in tribute to Serial. Instead of providing answers to our quiz questions today, we'll give you multiple scenarios that could be true and then muse about how much we'll never know. So if you want to give us a call to discuss the fallacy of human memory or just say to hell with it and answer the questions, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Nick from Las Vegas.
Hey, Nick, how are things in Vegas?
They're great.
Now, what do you do there?
I'm a paramedic in the Air Force out here.
Hey, so do you enjoy, because I know that's hard work, do you enjoy all the pleasures of Las Vegas, the spinning lights and so?
I haven't hit any shows because I just got stationed out here, but you know what I do like to do is to listen to Serial, except you just ruin the ending for me.
Oh!
Well, it's over.
Yeah.
Nick, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's a style columnist for the Washington Post. Ms. Roxanne Roberts is here.
Hey, Nick.
Next, it's a comedian who'll be performing at the Mesa Art Center in Mesa, Arizona, on New Year's Eve. It's Paula Poundstone.
Hey, Nick.
Hi, Paula.
And then a comedian who will be performing right nearby there at the Tempe Improv in Tempe, Arizona, on January 9th and 10th.
After you.
Maz Jobrani.
Hey, Nick.
Hi, Maz.
Come to Arizona. You can see both of us.
All right.
Nick, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Bill This Time. Bill Curtis will now perform for you three quotations from the week's news. That's how we start our show. If you correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice, on your home voicemail. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Here is your first quote.
Viva cigars.
That was CNBC getting to the heart of the biggest story this week as the U.S. normalized relations with what country?
Cuba.
Yes, indeed. Cuba. Cuba. President Obama gave up on our policy of isolating Cuba after only 50 years of failure. Come on! Critics wanted to stick to our policy of simply waiting for the Castro brothers to drop dead. It's been 50 years. How much longer can they last? But the White House is telling its critics, you don't understand. We're sending over KFC, McDonald's, and the internet. We'll give them 2 weeks before they finally...
You know, I only wish Ricky Ricardo could have been alive to see this.
I know. Babalu.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently people in Cuba were crying, and I think you guys have just explained why.
Yeah.
Just knowing all that's coming their way. When you talk about American values, you can't help but think about the 20% off from Bed Bath & Beyond.
They'd be so amazed with that, they'd be like, there is something beyond a bath? What is it? What wonders await beyond the bath?
Wait a minute. That's your Cuban accent?
That's my... You know,
Honestly,
that's based on, you know, looking at old newsreels. Now that I can go to Cuba legally, I'm sure I'll be able to improve it.
So you won't sound so much like Chekhov.
Exactly. All right, Nick, your next quote comes from former First Lady Barbara Bush, who was speaking in the spring of last year.
We've had enough Bushes.
Apparently someone didn't agree. Who thinks America needs another Bush?
Jeb Bush does.
Jeb Bush does. Yes, very good. Jeb Bush. The former governor of Florida announced he's running for president this week. Well, actually, he announced he's, quote, excited to announce I will actively explore the possibility of running for president, unquote.
You know, I think when even his mother said no.
She backtracked later. She said, he should do it if he wants.
Oh, he said he should do it if he wants?
Yeah.
That's because he had a fuss and wouldn't come to dinner.
Probably. Well, Jeb, as you all know, comes from a very impressive family. His grandfather, Prescott Bush, was a senator. His father was vice president and then president. His brother is a weird, reclusive painter. But Jeb is famously the smart one of the Bush sons, the one who was supposed to be president. You know what's interesting? If you do the math, George W. Bush became president 8 years after his father. And if Jeb wins, it'll be 8 years after his brother. So the Bushes are like cicadas with an eight-year cycle. Observers knew Jeb Bush was preparing a run when they found his translucent husk stuck to a tree in Tallahassee. All right, Nick, here is your last quote.
To retaliate, we should refuse to show all the comedies coming out of North Korea.
That was comedian Michael Ian Black talking about Sony Studios' decision to do what?
To remove The Interview from theaters.
Yeah, to cancel the release of the movie The Interview. Very good. Just about everybody was looking forward to the Christmas Day release of the James Franco and Seth Rogen movie The Interview. And by everybody, I mean James Franco, Seth Rogen, and a good fraction of their immediate families. Then hackers who are linked to North Korea broke into Sony's computers, stole valuable information, and then threatened violence and worse if the movie was released. So Sony canceled it. It worked. Why couldn't North Korea have gotten pissed like this back when they were making the Sex and the City movies?
I've been hearing that the movie's really bad.
Yes, there is that theory that the movie was terrible, was going to tank, and by simply canceling it because of terrorist threats, quote-unquote, they're able to save the millions of dollars it would have cost to promote it and distribute it. So they're actually coming out ahead of the game.
So Sony might have done it themselves. They might have had, like, there might have been a guy in another room, hey, oh, this is Kim Jong-un. You better not show the movie. Or I'm going to get you. Well, that's it. Cancel.
It could be. But the problem is that these hackers have also been releasing all this incredibly damaging information, including all these really rude emails that Sony executives were sending to each other, like the head of Sony called Angelina Jolie a minimally talented spoiled brat. Can you imagine how much trouble any of us would be in if all of our work emails were suddenly exposed to the public?
I'm self-employed, so my emails...
Who do you complain about management
well,
to?
Well, I'm usually pretty, encouraging about me.
Really? Paula, we think you're going to do great this year. You're doing terrific.
Exactly.
Good job out there.
But Mel, when my emails get hacked, I am going to be so embarrassed.
Because you don't have anything.
Fantastic last night. Really good job.
Yeah.
The thing that's so interesting to me is that he's apparently a huge movie fan.
He is. Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un.
He's a huge movie fan, so he probably follows all, I mean,
how sad must that be if he's a huge movie fan and he's watching this movie, he's like, this is a great movie, and then he's like, wait, they're killing me. Like, this is not such a good movie. I don't like James Franco anymore. Right?
Was that your North Korean accent?
No, I had one. No, I did that earlier on the phone call when I was calling in the threat.
So keeping the character alive.
Now I did it a different, you never know. Maybe he speaks English very well, Kim Jong-un. He has a French name, after all.
Hello. Is this Kim Jong-un? I love movies on Dennis Rodman.
I cannot believe James Franco is killing me.
Stop it, James Franco.
And the Seth Rogen.
Dites alors. Rogen. He is the worst.
Bill, how did Nick do in our quiz?
Nick is an Air Force paramedic, and the patient lived. Perfect score.
Well done.
Right.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Bye-bye. Right now, panel, it is time to answer some questions about the week's news. Ooh. Roxanne, Andrew Luck, quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, he's leading his team to the playoffs again.
Yeah.
Opponents say that one of his secrets is his mind games. He throws opponents off by doing what to them?
Oh. Does he give them the evil eye?
Far from it.
He's nice to them.
He's really nice to them. It's trash talk. It's kind of trash talk, but only if your trash smells like daisies and lilacs. This is true. He'll get sacked by like some 300-pound defensive lineman, and he says, "Great tackle!" Or, "Hey, man, you're a terror out there. Good job." Or, "Hey, can we just lie here like this till we fall asleep?" And we know this because he sometimes plays mic'd up for NFL films, and it's crazy to watch. So a player in the Patriots, this is true, was so confused when he tackled the quarterback, sacked him, and Luck said, "Hey, nice hit," that the player froze and said, "Thanks for accepting the hit." And the Bills' defensive line is still trying to figure out how he emerged from the huddle with a tray of piping hot cookies baked fresh just for him.
So he's doing it on purpose to manipulate, though?
Or is he really that nice?
He's apparently really nice. He's just a very, very nice guy.
This sounds a lot like my emails to my employee. It never occurred to me till now that I might be manipulating her.
You're just trying to build her up to throw off her game.
Man, because she works her butt off for me. She's fantastic. I think that's great. I like a guy who's because I don't care for football to begin with. But if there was some kindness involved, I could like it better.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's doing it for you. He's really kind.
So do you think he ever just gets tackled to be nice?
He just stands there and says, "Okay, guys." Like somebody playing with, like, children. "Oh,
right,
here,
exactly.
I'm running really slowly.
Oh, you're catching me.
You're catching me. Oh, I can't get away from you. Oh, you got me.
Oh, man. Wow, are you fast. It's all fun. Right, run up and get your jammies on."
So the holidays are just about here, and the post office is, of course, getting really busy. No business has time to deal with that, so avoid that hassle. Just go to stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for all of your letters and packages using just your computer and printer. Couldn't be easier. For a 4-week trial and an offer of free postage, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in WAIT, W-A-I-T. That's Stamps.com, enter WAIT, and thanks for supporting one of our supporters.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and we are playing this week with Roxanne Roberts, Paula Poundstone, and Maz Jobrani. Here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Selena Rodriguez from Tracy, California.
Hey, Selena, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Tracy, California is in the Central Valley, right?
Yes.
And what do you do there?
I am a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, that's cool. So how old are your kids?
Well, I have a 14-month-old and one on the way.
Oh, wow. So you decided that having a toddler was simply not hard enough.
Exactly.
Good for you. Welcome to the show, Selena. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. What is the topic, Bill?
All signs point to no.
Despite what every self-help book and motivational poster has told you, sometimes it is not a good idea to just hang in there, especially if the road ahead is littered with bad omens. This week, our panelists are going to tell you three stories about somebody ignoring the warning signs. Guess that true one, and you will win Carl Castle's voice in your voicemail. You ready to play?
I am.
All right. First, let's hear from Maz Jobrani.
Yuri Abakumov should have known that things would not go his way when he woke up on the morning of December 10th to head to the World Weightlifting Championships in Chiang Mai, Thailand. His team had traveled all the way from Moscow with very little incident. However, that morning, when Yuri attempted to travel from his bed to the bathroom, things started to unravel. First, the 6'3", 275-pounder dropped a bottle of industrial-sized mouthwash on his big toe, causing a minor fracture. Then, when he went to the kitchen to cook his normal breakfast of 13 eggs, 4 cans of beans, and 6 pieces of sausage, one of the cans slipped out of his hands and hit his knee. Yuri still made his way to the competition. "I felt like I could overcome the minor injuries to help my team win. I am a man. I am strong like an ox." Those were famous last words as Yuri stepped up to the mat to lift 500 pounds over his head. Upon lifting the weights, Yuri's foot slipped because of the injured toe, and his fingers failed him, making him lose his grip and fall backwards. The worst part was that three of his teammates were nearby cheering him on, and the weights came crumbling down faster than the Russian ruble, crashing on all the weightlifters and causing them all minor injuries. I should have seen the first injury as a sign. Next time I hurt my toe, I stay in bed.
A weightlifter starts the day by dropping everything and finishes it by dropping everything. Your next story of a bad sign comes from Paula Poundstone.
When Phoebe Whalen's in-laws came to town for a surprise pre-holiday visit in St. Paul, Minnesota, she thought she'd pepper their stay with events and activities. So although she didn't think it possible to get tickets to the annual A Christmas Carol production on the day of, she gave it a try. I got four tickets in the front row, she said. Now I realize that might have been a bad sign. At first, they couldn't figure out why the theater wasn't full. It's A Christmas Carol at holiday time, she puzzled. Then the play began, and the empty seats made all the sense in the world. I think it was supposed to be a more modern interpretation of the Dickens classic. Bob Cratchit said the F word a lot and was quite aggressive, she explained. The Ghost of Christmas Present made a speech about how some greed is good and that charity undercuts self-determination. Scrooge himself stared right at my breasts the whole time he was reminiscing about losing his girlfriend, Belle. Next year, we'll get tickets to the Glass Menagerie at the holiday.
A woman slowly figures out she saw the wrong Christmas carol. Your last story of something that maybe wasn't meant to be comes from Roxanne Roberts.
The idiotic trend of public marriage proposals reached a new high, or low, in the Netherlands last week when a Dutchman thought it would be a great idea for a construction crane to hang him outside his girlfriend's bedroom window, where he planned to dramatically pop the question. It was a stupid idea to begin with, and then it got stupider when the crane tipped over and crashed through the neighbor's roof. The man was uninjured, but a second crane rented to extract the first dropped it back on the building, destroying the rest of the roof and leaving six apartments unfit to live in, reports CNN. Unbelievably, the woman said yes to this literal home wrecker. And the couple left for Paris to celebrate their engagement. But it's a bad sign when your future husband tries and fails twice to keep his crane up.
Hey.
All right. So you've heard three stories of people being oblivious. The first from Maz Jobrani about a weightlifter who kept dropping things but still tried to pick up the heavy weight to disastrous results. From Paula Poundstone, a story about a woman who attended the Christmas Carol but discovered it really wasn't to her liking. Or from Roxanne Roberts, a woman who accepted the proposal of a man who managed to destroy two cranes in a building in an attempt to propose to her. Which is the real story?
Oh, dear God. I'm going to go with Roxanne.
You are going to go with Roxanne. Often a
yes.
Wise move. Well, to bring you the correct answer, we spoke to someone familiar with this story.
I've used aircraft carriers, marching bands. I've definitely never used a crane, an actual giant crane.
That was Sarah Pease.
Oh, yes.
She designs and executes wedding proposals at a company called Brilliant Event Planning, but even she thought that the man's idea of using a construction crane was a bad one. Congratulations, Selena. You got it right. Roxanne told the truth for once.
Thank you.
You've won our prize, Carl Castle's voice, on your voicemail. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for playing.
You know you're alive. Keep on lifting. Higher. Higher and higher. I said you're alive. Keep on lifting. Higher and higher.
And now the game where funny people do their best to have some fun despite the obstacles we put in their way. It's called Not My Job. Jenny Slate is a stand-up comedian, actor, and writer who has rocketed to internet fame with her series of films Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, as well as the movie Obvious Child, in which she appears wearing shoes but no shell. Jenny Slate, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello.
Hey.
So it's amazing, with your Marcel the Shell video, you've rocketed to fame. We've seen you on network TV, best-selling children's book author, and now finally, you're on public radio. Is that exciting to you?
Oh, that seems like the grand reward, I think. I'm very excited.
Oh, that's fun. Now, were you one of those kids who liked to grow up listening to NPR in the back of the car all the time?
Well, I actually am that kid, but I used to listen to NPR in the car with my mom all the time, and I got really carsick. I get really carsick, and we would drive from Milton, Massachusetts into Cambridge, where one of my sisters went to school, and I used to get, unfortunately, really, like, bored by the news because I was a kid and I didn't understand that things are important. I would just hear the start of All Things Considered, like the bah, 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 bah. I would get so scared that I was about to be bored, and the car sickness would ratchet up, and I would just throw up in the car.
So are you feeling a little queasy now?
No, I'm a little bit nervous because I'm on the telephone, and I am notoriously bad at talking on the phone because I often talk exactly at the exact same time that the other person is talking.
Do you really do that? You are. Jenny, so you've had this, now you grew up, I love this, that you actually grew up in Milton, Massachusetts, and you went to Milton Academy.
I did.
Which is a very famous prep school there in Milton. Did growing up as a prep, as they used to say, did that affect your comedy in any way?
Ooh, I don't think so. I think the main thing that affected my comedy was that my dad slept in a nightgown for most of my childhood, and it was just very funny every single night, and made me realize that laughter is fun and nightgowns are cool.
You mean like one of those like Ebenezer Scrooge deals with a down-to-the-floor nightgown?
It went down to his ankles, and it was actually a long salmon-colored nightshirt that said the word Wang on it.
No.
Did you?
Yeah, that is my truth. Well, he worked for a computer. He wasn't just like a strange, you know, slang word that he had on his nightgown. He worked for a computer company that also was called Wang, and
yeah.
I guess somebody was like, hey, Ron, here's a nightgown. I'm not exactly sure.
We have to ask you about Marcel the Shell, because it's interesting. Like, all the things you've done, including starring in a film, The Obvious Child, it's Marcel the Shell. Tell us about him.
Sure. Well, he's a character that I created with my husband, Dean Fleischer Camp, and he's a shell. He has a shell body and one eye and two shoes, and he's just sort of an individual. We did it for fun and made it for a little art show in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and our friends liked it and asked us to put it online so that they could see it again. And we put it on the internet, and people really, they liked it. And he has like a little voice like this. Like, I don't know if you can hear it, but he talks like this.
And how did it happen? Were you just sitting around your apartment with your husband and you picked up a little seashell and you started talking like that?
Well, no, I was at a wedding. And at the time, it was like me and a bunch of my other friends, and we were trying to save some money. So there were like seven of us in one motel room in Pomfret, Connecticut. And it was like me and my husband and my best friend Gabe and my friend Mike and his husband Gray and like some other guy was in there too with us. And my friend Matt, that's who it was. And I just felt so squished, and like all these boys they were all in the bathroom longer than I ever was, and I didn't have any space. And I think something in me kind of snapped, and I was just like, I'm never getting into the bathroom, you know. And I just started talking this little voice. Or that's how I remember it. And then my best friend Gabe said, well, yeah, that's also kind of true, but never forget that the night before you drank a million beers, hijacked a karaoke machine, and then jumped up on top of an 18-wheeler. So you broke your brain, and then you made art is what happened.
I was going to ask about, because you've done so many things in comedy. You were a stand-up for a while. Is it true that you had trouble with stage fright?
Yes. I got terrible stage fright when I moved from New York to Los Angeles. Also, that's when I developed like a lot of other weird fears, like fear of coyotes, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
That continues.
You were afraid of coyotes?
Oh, big time.
How does the fear of coyotes manifest itself, Jenny?
You know, those dogs, I just feel like they're coming for me. I really do. They're always laughing. You know, they lope around, they trot around, and they're sort of like scraggly and mangy, and they're known for being tricky and they're laughing, and I just feel like I'm going to have a Little Red Riding situation happen to me. You know.
You know that coyotes are not hyenas. Traditionally, it's the hyenas that laugh, not the coyotes.
That's true. Hyenas laugh, but they laugh really hard. And, you know, they do like the hyena laugh, but coyotes look like they're just kind of like laughing at you with their friends.
So you're thinking it's like the laughing coyote.
Yeah,
it's like the coyotes are judging you.
Yeah, you know, it's just the idea of like an organized group about to play a prank on me, and then the prank is that they eat me.
Okay, Jenny Slate, we've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
You're Jenny from the Block.
As hard as you try, as far as you go, you will only be the second most famous Jenny in the world after Jennifer Lopez, the dancer, singer, actor, impresario from the Bronx. So we're going to ask you three questions about J-Lo. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice in their voicemail. Bill,
okay.
Who is Jenny Slate playing for?
Diane Robinson of Mainz, Germany.
Mainz, Germany?
I think.
All right. You ready to play, Jenny?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Here's your first question. The obsession with Jennifer Lopez's rear end began around 1998, with some crediting a story in the London Times about what it called a, quote, her backside, her butt, her rear, her rump, her posterior, her gorgeously proud buttocks, unquote. B, quote, the caboose that won't vamoose. Or C, quote, her rather well-defined gluteal muscles, unquote.
I will go with B.
No, I'm afraid it was A. Her backside, her butt, her rear, her rump, her posterior.
Darn it.
Gorgeously proud buttocks.
Oh.
All right, you still have two more chances.
Okay.
J-Lo is famous for her romantic relationships, including her engagement to Ben Affleck and her marriage to singer Marc Anthony. But her first marriage was to whom? A, famed French intellectual Bernard-Henri Lévy. B, a nice guy from the neighborhood who supported her through the tough times before she started to make it. Or C, a waiter at Gloria Estefan's restaurant in Miami.
Oh, this is tough stuff. Okay, let's go with C.
You're going to go with C, a waiter at Gloria Estefan's restaurant in Miami, and you are right. Yes. Jay Lopez said of her first husband, quote, sex was like bathing in champagne. We did whatever two humans could possibly do, unquote.
What?
That's what she said. The marriage lasted less than 2 years. I guess they ran out of champagne.
I mean, yeah, that's the worst liquid to take a bath in, or I guess a shower. Also, it doesn't seem like a very, you know, like there are a lot of options for what that experience would be. It seems like mostly you would just get, like, really sticky and then have to take a normal shower by yourself.
This is metaphor.
I don't think you're seeing the romance here.
Right.
All right, well, you have one more question. We move forward, so she divorced the waiter, and she moved forward. She got engaged, famously, to Ben Affleck. They became Bennifer, right? That's
right.
What they were called. And they never got married, but they did reportedly draft a prenup that among its provisions stated what? A, they were contractually obligated to have sex 4 times a week. B, for the duration of their marriage, he would go by Baaf. Or C, they could be instantly divorced just by saying the word Gili 3 times. Gili, Gili, Gili.
What was the middle one?
For the duration of their marriage, he would have to go by, I guess, Baaf.
J-Lo.
You're going to go with A. You are right.
Yeah.
The London Times reported that their prenup stated they would have to have sex 4 times a week.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh,
wow-y,
my gosh.
Woo-woo. That is some romance. I can't believe it didn't last. That is a very, very romantic contract.
Jenny, have you ever met J-Lo? Is this?
You know what? I have.
You have?
And, yeah, I did. I met her when I was at Saturday Night Live, and she was very, very lovely. She was really nice, and you know, like, I thought she was going to be very fancy and that it would be hard to talk to her, but she was very, very nice.
Did she smell faintly of champagne?
Yeah, she was taking a shower with, like, a lot of bottles of champagne.
Oh, I understand.
And she actually did smell really good.
Bill, how did Jenny Slate do in our quiz?
I'll tell you who won, and that was Jenny. 2 out of 3.
Well done, Jenny. Congratulations.
Oh, good.
Jenny Slate stars in the comedy Obvious Child. She's written a new book with her husband, Dean Fleischer Kemp, called Marcel the Shell, the most surprised I've ever been. Jenny Slate, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
What fun to have you. Talk to you soon, Jenny. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you.
So nobody likes going to the store shopping for mattresses. You're in there, you're dealing with salesmen, you feel awkward lying on the mattress for 30 seconds to see if you want to keep it. It's terrible. Here's a better way. It's from one of our sponsors, Casper. They're an online retailer for mattresses. Casper mattresses are American-made. They're obsessively engineered for comfort. Really, these guys are like nerds about it. They use two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, to give you just the right amount of sink and bounce. Technical terms, people. And they have a risk-free trial. You can try out your Casper mattress for 100 days. And you get free delivery and returns if on day 99 you don't like it. It's outrageous comfort at a polite price. So go to casper.com/waitwait to check out their options. And they have a special offer for listeners to this podcast. Use the promo code waitwait to redeem $50 toward a Casper mattress of your choice. Thanks.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Roxanne Roberts, Paula Poundstone, and Maz Jobrani. Here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill stuffs your stocking full of rhymes. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, a new study shows that in addition to burning fossil fuels and deforestation, there is something even more common that's contributing to global warming. What is it? Something people do.
Something people do. And it has nothing to do with normal activities, I assume.
Oh, it does, actually. Something that a lot of people, more people want to do than accomplish it.
Lose weight.
Exactly right. Losing weight. A pair of researchers in Australia have determined that the fat we burn through exercise, or trying to squeeze into our skinny jeans, doesn't just disappear, right? It's processed as energy in the body, which through a chemical reaction turns it into water, energy, and carbon dioxide. That CO2 goes straight into the atmosphere through that exhaust pipe you call a mouth.
If our fat is energy, then why can't we power our own house? Why can't I just hook myself up to my thermostat and keep it at a nice 70 in my living room?
You know.
Are we on to something, Peter?
You could.
Yeah.
I mean, well, have you ever wondered why if you do exercise, you get hot? You warm up, right?
I haven't had that experience. Well,
if you were to exercise.
I've wondered what would happen if I exercised.
Have you ever been cold and you jumped up?
I'm cold right now. My nose is cold right now. They keep
and
it really cold in here.
On the times when you've been cold, have you ever jumped up and down or rubbed your hands or just moved around to warm up?
No.
You've never done that. Can I recommend you try it next time?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you move your nose up and down to warm up?
You can rub it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Paula, Vogue magazine recently moved their offices to the brand new One World Trade Center.
Well, you are talking to the right person about that.
Yeah.
I know
your monthly copy of Vogue is well thumbed.
Oh, my
gosh.
She
gave herself a subscription for Christmas.
That's right.
As an employee bonus.
That was my Christmas bonus.
So anyway, the staff at Vogue has a big problem. What is that problem in their new offices?
Okay, they have a problem in that office.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that building, in the new
building? The
problem
is they ended up sharing the office with people they did not, with things they did not expect or want.
Hackers.
No.
Bugs? There's bugs?
No, larger.
There's rats.
Yes, there's rats.
Oh.
The fancy staffers at Vogue are afraid to step foot in their new offices due to a rat infestation. Said one employee of the magazine, quote, a bunch ate through the ceiling of a sports editor's office and crawled all over his desk and left poops on his keyboard, unquote. This raises two questions.
Boy.
One, there's a sports editor at Vogue?
Yeah, that was my first question.
Second question, poops?
Yeah, it's multiple poop.
So the rats apparently got in through the vents.
Apparently you've only had a singular incident.
Yeah.
just get like one little pellet.
Have they seen these rats, or are they just identifying them?
No, apparently they've seen the rats. The rats are running around.
I'm just wondering if this was sort of they're going from, you know, sort of from
evidence.
Poop evidence.
No. I mean, you never know. You have to see the rats because, you know, if you're just going by the tiny little poops, it could just be the models. Very skinny people is what I'm saying.
I think that's fair game there. I do.
Yeah, that's a good one.
They started it after all.
That's a good one.
Roxanne, after unveiling a new campaign urging drivers not to jerk their steering wheels when skidding on snowy roads, the South Dakota Office of Highway Safety immediately pulled that campaign. Apparently, people were misinterpreting the campaign slogan, which was what?
I think it was "Don't jerk and drive."
You're exactly right, Roxanne. No, don't laugh. What's wrong with you people? It's a serious problem. Plain state like South Dakota, the snow, ice come, people hit an icy patch, they jerk the wheel, makes things worse, right? They crash. So state officials wanted to fix that. They created a campaign to educate the public to the danger called Don't Jerk and Drive. It's direct, it's easy to remember, and almost impossible to misconstrue in any way. So they printed up these giant billboards, "Don't jerk and drive," and posters.
I didn't know about the billboards.
Oh, yeah.
Someone's got to be like, wait a minute. Like, that's not going to – I mean, and they got all the way to the – because there was a guy who made the billboard. Even he could have been like – are you sure about this?
Yeah.
You know, maybe they were in the meeting and they did each individually in their own head think jerk and drive, and they but then they didn't want to seem immature.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like the Emperor's New Clothes sort of thing.
Right, exactly. They're like, "Yeah, don't jerk and drive. I know what that means." Anybody thinking anything else? No. No, we're thinking you mean turn the wheel. That's right. They're very mature in South Dakota.
I understand. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, or our upcoming show in Orlando, Florida on February 12th. The weather should be good. And check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast. This week, just in time for Christmas Eve, Mike and Ian helped Santa in gift-giving and hand-to-hand combat. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Well, hey there. This is Scott Henry calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Minneapolis. Right.
So, a great place. So thrilled to be here.
Oh, that's all. What do you do in the great city of Minneapolis?
Well, I'm a project manager at Polaris.
I know Polaris. They make snowmobiles, and they make great motorcycles these days.
It's like working at a toy factory.
It's really awesome. If you have any of those spare Indians motorcycles lying around, you'd like to give it away.
If we can work out a deal on limiting the fundraising drive.
Yeah, baby.
Touché.
Bill Curtis, Scott, is going to perform for you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a big winner. You ready to go?
Let's do it.
This snack machine's cruel and unbending. My needs, it is misapprehending. This is a mistake. I don't want a rice cake, but the software decides what it's...
vending.
Yes. A new, quote, smart vending machine uses facial recognition technology to identify users. It can then select or deny snacks based on your medical records or current diet.
Oh, that's awful.
Turns out robots aren't so much a threat to the future of mankind as they're just big metal mean girls. Trust us, this thing is smart, and you go up to it and it's like, the vertical stripes are not fooling anybody, Tubby.
Wow, that's a horrible idea. Who would buy a machine like that? I don't like that idea.
I don't like it either.
Yeah.
But presumably, I mean, people who might want some external controls because they know that they shouldn't be going to the snack machine.
Who has a vending machine at their house?
Well, it'll be at their place of work. Some of us who have jobs have vending machines there.
I employ myself, and I'm going to talk about this at my next meeting.
I think you should. Have one of those installed.
You should email yourself about this.
Here is your next limerick.
We fly off exploring the stars. We're looking for planets like ours. Our rovers made passes through clouds of stray gases. There might have been life upon
Mars.
Yes, Mars.
He is so good.
This week, NASA announced that the Mars rover Curiosity has recorded a burst of methane lasting for longer than 2 months, a sign that life might exist on Mars, and also, according to the legal boilerplate, a sign that Mars should consult a doctor. In any event, NASA is reluctant to jump to any conclusions. Since the last time Curiosity recorded methane, it tried to blame it on the old abandoned Mars rover sitting over there.
Beep.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Scott, here's your last limerick.
I'm a holiday party regretter. For bad fashion, I need an abettor. I'm feeling the pull of some bold colored wool. I'm renting a big ugly
sweater.
Right.
Yes.
Nowadays, Christmas sweaters are as much a part of the holiday season as presents under the tree and Black Friday murders. If you're not wearing a Christmas sweater, it means you hate Christmas. But why spend $50 on something you'll only wear for a couple of weeks out of the year? Fortunately, Rent the Runway is offering rental Christmas sweaters with patterns so Christmassy it'll look like Santa himself barfed on your chest. Bill, how did Scott do in our quiz?
Scott ran circles around us for a perfect score, 3-0.
Congratulations, Scott. Well done. Thanks so much for playing. Stay warm.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It looks like Christmas, Christmas at the airport.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as here as you can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Roxanne has 4, Maz 3, Paula 2.
Paula, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, Taliban militants incited international outrage by attacking a public high school in blank.
Pakistan.
Right. Despite the fact that the Russian economy is in crisis, a recent poll shows that blank still has an 81% approval rating.
Putin.
Yes. A Kentucky woman was arrested for shoplifting while attending an event called blank.
People against shoplifting.
No, it was called Shop with a Cop. On Wednesday, Norman Bridwell, the creator of Clifford the Big Red Blank, passed away at age 86.
The Big Red Dog.
Yes, indeed. With a pair of free throws in a game on Sunday, Kobe Bryant surpassed blank in the NBA's all-time scoring list.
Michael Jordan.
Right. A Florida man was arrested for shoplifting while attending an event called blank.
Shop with a Cop.
In fact, yes, although it was a completely different Shop with a Cop event.
Wow!
Every year, around Christmas, Walmart holds its annual Shop with a Cop event where they
invite... Why would anyone shop with a cop?
Well, the idea is that the police officers come in and they walk around and they shop for kids in need. Unfortunately, this is apparently also the day Walmart holds their Shoplift with a Store Full of Cops event where people try to shove Xbox games down their pants in full view of the police. Bill, how did Paula do in our quiz?
She got 6 right for 12 more points. She has a total of 14 and the lead.
All right.
Good
well done,
you,
Paula. Maz, you're up next. Fill in the blank. For the first time since he was arraigned in 2013, the blank bombing suspect appeared publicly in court.
Boston.
Right, Boston Marathon. The UN narrowly reached an agreement this week that would require all member nations to reduce their blank emissions.
Gas.
Right. Before ending their session for the year, the Senate confirmed a Dr. Vivek Murthy as the new blank.
Attorney General. You know, the health thing.
Which would be called...
Siebert Koop.
Who was the...
Secretary... I'm blanking right now. Health and Human Resources.
Surgeon General.
That's it!
A new report from the Department of Labor shows that blank claims remain at a 14-year low.
Job.
Right. Two would-be carjackers in Florida had to run away empty-handed after realizing blank.
That there was nothing to be robbed.
That neither of them could drive a stick shift. Ah. Lou Reed, Green Day, and Joan Jett were among those named as 2015 inductees to the blank.
Hall of Fame, rock and roll.
With over 90% of the vote, Oregon quarterback Marcus Mariota was the recipient of this year's blank.
Heisman.
Right. Animal lovers and junior high boys were saddened this week to learn that the rare blank turtle in Australia is endangered.
The rare blank turtle in Australia. That would be the big, big turtle.
No, it's the rare butt-breathing turtle.
Ah, yes.
Oh, the habitat of the Australian white-throated snapping turtle is being damaged, and that's making a tough existence even tougher. For one, this turtle breathes through its butt. For two, no one calls it the white-throated snapping turtle. He's like, come on, guys. The name's Chad. Bill, how did Moz do in our quiz?
Well, he got 5 right for 10 more points, and that means a total of 13. But Paula still has the lead.
All right, so how many, then, does Roxanne need to win?
5 to tie, 6 to win for Roxanne.
Roxanne's eyes narrow. She paints she paints those Maori tattoos in her face. She does her haka, and we're ready to go. This is for the game, Roxanne. After a 16-hour siege, police stormed a cafe to end a hostage situation in blank.
In Sydney.
Right, a federal court in Pennsylvania declared that some of President Obama's executive actions on blank were unconstitutional.
On immigration.
Right. Health officials in Sierra Leone announced they would soon be going door-to-door looking for cases of blank.
Ebola.
Right after receiving the results of a study that warned of significant health and environmental risks, Governor Andrew Cuomo banned blanking in the state of New York.
Fracking.
Right. A Nebraska man was suspected of driving under the influence when he was spotted blanking.
Driving naked, wearing reindeer antlers.
Close. He was driving a car with 4 flat tires and all of the airbags deployed. Thursday night. Thursday night marked the final episode of Comedy Central's Daily Show spinoff blank.
The Colbert Report.
Right. Beyonce, Jay-Z, and Justin Timberlake were among the celebrities on hand to celebrate blank's 25th birthday.
Taylor Swift.
Right. A plumber in Texas got unexpected advertising for his business when his old truck showed up on TV being used by blank.
In Texas.
Well, he's in Texas.
George W. Bush.
No. Truck was being used by a jihadist group in Syria. Turns out, in addition to spreading Sharia law and a new caliphate, the Ansar al-Din Front are also advancing the cause of Marx 1 Plumbing of Texas City, Texas. That's, I guess, why they didn't erase the company logo and phone number from the truck before they used it to tote around a machine gun on TV. The plumber himself says he has no idea how his used truck ended up in Syria. He doesn't appreciate the angry calls, and that one guy in Damascus with a clogged toilet should probably find somebody local. Bill, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
She got 6 right for 12 more points, a total of 16, which means she's the champion.
There she is. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict who will be appointed ambassador to Cuba, our first ambassador to Cuba since the 50s, and why. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Subaru with the 7th annual Share the Love event through January 2nd. More information about the event and the not-for-profit organizations that it supports is at Subaru.com/share. The John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age, and the Pew Charitable Trust, driven by the power of knowledge to solve today's most challenging problems at pewtrusts.org. Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Kel. See you later, suckers. Hardison. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to John Zajac and Les Dolarchik at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Miles Dernboss. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our CFO is Anne Nien. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now panel, who will be the next American ambassador to Cuba and why? Paula Poundstone.
Amy Pascal from Sony. Because she's not a great secret keeper, so our new relationship will be open and honest.
Roxanne Roberts.
Stogie-loving Bill Clinton, because sometimes a cigar really is just a cigar.
Ooh, and Maz Jobrani.
Al Pacino, because he was Tony Montana. Say hello to my little diplomat.
Well, if any of those people are chosen, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Paula Poundstone, Maz Jobrani, and Roxanne Roberts. And thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.